Shalom lachem.
Hello, and thank you for joining us here in the New Life series, educational series with Dr. Michael Lyman. Hello, Dr. Lyman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Tal Mandelbaum. Hello. And we want to learn how to take our lives to a better place. New life, better life. It's simple. How to do it? That's the question. That's the big question. And each time we try to bite it to this mystery a little bit more to see how we can implement it here and now in our lives and the relations between us and reach better results to better life. And on our way to this happiness, desired happiness, we want to focus how to implement it in our lives. And today, we want to take as a subject the subject of thankfulness, being thankful for what we have in life as a key to happiness. Tal, open up our search. So, yes, to help with our search, I'm searching in research and I'm looking what's contributing to our happiness according to research. And they say gratefulness for life can bring peace, happiness, physical health. Our relationships can be more satisfactory. It's the most powerful, transformative power in the world for the individual and society. I want to verify why it's like that, why they really give so much place to it. And I want to read a little song I found. I even have it on Facebook on my profile, and it goes like this. Be thankful that you don't have everything you want, because if you did have, what would you have to anticipate? Be thankful that you don't know something, because it gives you an opportunity to learn. Be thankful for the hard times, because they make you grow. Thankful for your limitations, because they give you opportunities to improve. It will give you power and build your character. It's easy to thank for the good things, but satisfaction in life comes to those who are thankful for the difficult times. Thankfulness can transform the negative to positive, and they can transform into blessings. So truly, this has been with me for many years. I read it once in a while. When life is a bit unpleasant, you have to look what's good. And research shows that gratefulness, thankfulness, they allowed people to, they took three people, each group wrote a diary. One group wrote all kinds of things that happened throughout the week. One group wrote only the negative things. Another group wrote what happened throughout the week, and the results showed that the ones that were thankful were more aware, they were more optimistic, they had more motivation and energy, they had less stress, depression, they were inclined to help others, they did sport, they advanced in life. Being thankful filled their life with this positive vibe. Statistics show that it increases happiness by 25%. So let's say we have a basic level that goes up if something happens or down if something bad happens. This attitude can really raise our basic level of happiness by 25%. There's a very clear influence here. Why is it that thankfulness influences our happiness so much? First of all, I think that we're learning how much we're like an empty computer, and no matter what programs we put into it, it's empty. What we get from birth, we really get this empty memory and an operating system that's empty. And it all depends on who's filling them, in what, how they're filling them. We know how much it influences us, our childhood, what we get from the first day. From the first day, a child is so sensitive. Who's looking after me? They put it in deep inside their memory, deep, deep inside their psyche. And from there, they build their relation to life, their attitude to life. Everything is based on what happened in the previous moment. And this is how we're built, each and every moment. And afterward, there's the social aspect that we come to some society of kids where there begins to be competition, who's more, who's less, along with our natural inclinations, it goes into some processing of these inner situations and social situations. And what we see at home, there's a few places that influence us. And this is how we grow. Meaning, at the end of the day, what's a person? What do they mean by a person that's reached the age of, that's past, let's say, no longer a teenager, like a 20-year-old. Who is he? At the age of 20 today, maybe you could say even 30, but still, he received from his environment, let's call all these external influences his environment, he got some impressions, a certain amount of impressions, and also received from his environment awareness how to relate to these things, good, bad, etc. Meaning he operates according to how he was filled in the data and his attitude to the data. And this is precisely, it's the same thing in the computer. We can program each and every person, and everything depends on education and the influence of the environment. Education is not just what he receives in school, the university, or nursery school, but education is rather all the external influence from a person that shapes a person. Therefore, here we need to pay attention that what will happen afterward will be as a result of that. We see that in the previous century, we went through very, very defined situations, very strong situations, and very different situations. We began the 20th century in a situation where they would relate to children in a very wild way, I would say. They would hit them, even in England, in university, in Eton, it's known that they would beat them up, and I was there and I tried to see it. I saw what benches they sit on and the plates they use, like 200-year-old plates. They used to take a cold shower in the morning and the evening. And it's kids they come from wealthy families, they come from high class. It's a very cruel the way they relate to kids. And the parents also would understand that hitting a child is called educating him. And afterward, I think as a result of the Second World War especially, things changed the way that people relate to kids. And kids changed and the attitude to them changed altogether. The environment and the people in the environment, and kids began to be inclined to revolution and riots. It was the 60s. They would look for the truth, and we don't care about our parents, and we want our own world to build from anew in all the places. Doesn't matter where you live. There was like a wave in the world, and then there were different values. People's attitude to life was different. And the aspect of happiness, what does it mean to be happy, was also different. If once upon a time at the beginning of the century I was hit less or I got away from all the problems, Now it's different in the middle of the 20th century. To the extent that I cause more problems, to the extent that I put myself in the middle, that's where I see my happiness. I can determine my happiness, and people would yearn for culture and music and science. And there they started a very big thriving with the hippies and with drugs and everything. The searching for the future, what is it? And then afterward, I see it as 1965, everything changed. And kids began to be passive. They don't care if they're growing up in their parents' home. They have suddenly this resistance to parents. I'm 30 years old. I can stay living next to my parents. Everything's secure. And the mother also thinks like that. It's interesting. The people that grew up in the previous generation, from the middle of the 20th century, the parents also think otherwise, and their children also. The parents think that children will stay in home till the age of 30, 35. It's not so bad. And the kids also think like that. In other words, there's it's like there's some we're behind in our development. It's like in our maturity. And the idea of happiness has changed in accordance. I don't want revolutions. I don't want to be big. I don't want to be responsible, not in work, not in anything. Maybe small businesses here and there, but not too big with the future for years ahead. They became very soft. They don't want wars. They don't want resistance or conflict. And something very childish, soft, and good. I heard that they even like to. There was a phenomenon that a guy got a sandwich in the street, he took a bite, and he filmed it and put it on Facebook or something. They enjoy this narcissism. It's childish. We're talking about big people. We had a party yesterday. And if you hear who, what, 30, 35, boys, girls, in other words, there's some kind of we're behind. It's like a generation. It's like this pending in development, stalling. If our lives have gotten longer in that period also, if it was once upon a time 50, 60, now it's 80, 90. Now they're saying 30 or 40 is the new 20. Yes, it's possible. But this is what's happening. Therefore, we can't say precisely according to the years what a person's happiness is. Because it was the same type of development in each and every year of a person's life, then according to statistics we would be able to see. But here we're in a dynamic, general dynamic of the generation. Or it's relative to the generation I live in or the period. And it's clear that whoever grows today, the kids that grow today, they're in growing up in cotton wool. I don't know what to call it. Why? Because there's one kid in the family, so what can be more dear than him? And he deserves everything because he's one. because there's a change in psychology from 100 years ago when they beat kids up and they demanded of them. And they push them to advance and everything in a cruel way. Today it's the opposite. Kids beat up their parents and demand everything from them. And they get everything and they think that's how it's supposed to be. What's happiness? That we went through so quickly. I remember this attitude that kids had, the attitude we had in those days and that we have today. I look at it, I'm looking 60 years ago and today. It's really a big revolution. And we can't do anything about it because altogether a person is shaped by his environment, by society, and that's how he is. And the society changes, and in accordance with that, the person in it changes, the parents, and actually the definition of happiness is completely different. In wartime, it was achievement. I have to be a great scientist. Either you go to music and you're a world pianist, or you go to medicine and you're the best surgeon in the world. And I wanted to be a scientist, but achievements, something great compared to the society that you're in, and according to that, your happiness is measured. But today, there's no such thing. I don't really care about what society thinks. All those professions and achievements, we don't hear that it's those careers. Maybe Hollywood is still there. Today it's like instant advertisement. All the football players, it's considered a really respectable thing. Everyone's attracted to what's convenient, what's good. That's the generation. The computers, the phones, we talk between us. Happiness is, instead of rising to heights and attainments and going to the moon and who knows what, all kinds of directions. Today, it's precisely the opposite altogether. Give me my quiet. A person doesn't come to that after lots of suffering, that he's tired of life. What tired? He simply, as he was born, that's who he continues to lie on the couch in his room and play with a few toys. So happiness is so different in its definition for each and every generation that it's really hard to define it. We're in a generation that's like in a regression, that's descending and like a nosedive. It's very easy to manage them. It's very easy to give them what they need. They need a new phone every year, half a year, and they're happy. And they wait for it for a few months, and they say, oh, soon we're going to have a new phone. It's so childish. And the elites, they give their kids everything, and where they don't get it, they do chaos. And
everyone
And they think that in wars and everything and all kinds of suffering, and also from that they get their own happiness. And this is how they feel their happiness. Otherwise they wouldn't appreciate it. Let's say the arms... And those, they enjoy this golden calf. So if I want to conclude up till now, the definition of happiness changed throughout the generations and also throughout the generations. Okay, so let's take that as a fact and let's add to it the cause for happiness. We won't even get into the difference. Let's say the three of us are three people, and each of us has a different definition of what makes us happy. We each have our own definition. We're all in one generation or even in three generations. No, three generations you can't compare it because it's changed. But in our lives, we don't want anything. We just want to feel ourselves. So that's the definition of happiness. Let's say that makes you happy. So let's get out of defining what happiness is. We understand it's subjective, changes from generation to generation. It depends where you are in the generation. Let's get away from there and add something else. Research shows that even without going into definition what makes us happy, there's another thing, an additional thing that we can change. It's called giving thanks. If I do it, my happiness will go up. If you do it, your happiness will go up. If she does it, her happiness will go up. If you don't do it, hers is less. If she doesn't do it, her happiness is less. So here comes the question. If people do that and it changes their happiness level, the question is, why does that happen? Why, if a person stops the race, the rat race, and looks from the side at what he has, and it doesn't matter what he has, if it's to sit in a... it doesn't matter where what he's doing. Why, if a person stops and says, I give thanks for this, it causes a rise in happiness. Why the system of thanking for what I being thankful for what I have makes me happier? What's the dynamics here? We know it from the ways of the world. A person is happy with what he has because I grasp from everything that I have positive things and erase apparently in importance, reduce in importance negative things and understand that it can be much worse. And let's look at the half full cup and not the half empty cup. And this is how I'll enjoy life. Why should I suffer? Especially since we're living in a generation that wants everything quiet, like kids. So why should I always sit and eat myself up? Why should I always be in inner suffering and stress? The generation is happy. It doesn't want anything. It's not for nothing that it has this new attitude to life. They already saw these achievements. They saw what turns out for those people that are full of money and respect, how much stress it causes, how much they're obligated to write according to who they are. I know lots of people there. I see how obligated they are. Every time they go out to life, every flight, every journey, they have to think where, who, what. When you go for a trip in nature, you don't see them. When you go abroad and you're enjoying time with your kids, you don't see them. They need special places. They need special trips. That's how it is. It really limits them. It obligates them. It's the paparazzi everywhere. It's a problem. This family that wants to enjoy life, they don't want to be managers. They don't want to be responsible. I don't want to be, first of all, anything that will limit me and obligate me. I don't want to be obligated. I don't want to be in charge. Any other thing, let's think about it. It's all clear. It all has to do with our values. I'm free. I can enjoy life. I can change myself from today to tomorrow. Where's a person under this bulldozer of advancement that he decided for himself, or that he... I want to enjoy life. I see it all has to do with the education from the previous generations. I see it doesn't add anything. I'm sitting with my mother. I feel like going out with a girl. I go out in the evening. I come home by myself. I come home by myself. My mother and father support anything I want to do. Life is like half heaven, and that's why they feel happy. And then they see that there's some factor that's not letting them enjoy, even in a primitive way. I want to get into what you said before. To be thankful for what a person has makes a person happier, because altogether he grasps the positive things, he raises their importance, he lowers the negative things that are less important, and he understands that he could be much worse off. Now, if I understand, if I look at my whole life, if I put something up and reduce the other things, I bring myself to a happier state than my current situation. Even without my situation changing, it's this analysis, the way I look at it, this verification. By doing this analysis, I cause myself more happiness. Now I want to understand how it works. What does it mean to look at the positive things in my life? Do I need to look for them? Not only are you looking for them, society obligates you in your influence. By influencing you, it causes you to look for the positive things. What do you mean? My life, what positive things are there? What does it mean to look for positive things? You live in comfort with good neighbors. You're not running to work so much, but as usual, you go and do what you have to do. You get money. At night, you sit with your friends. You can go to sleep. You're not obligated. The main thing is not to be obligated. That's the feeling of happiness. You feel yourself as a child. Remember yourself as a child? How was it? Look at his face. You would jump out of bed, run out to the yard. There's friends and there's football. You forget about everything. Birds. But I don't have that. Everything was great. So some people are smarter than you. They don't have kids. They don't take this burden upon themselves. But I don't care about them. I'm interested in myself. You already got yourself in trouble, and they're saying, look, if you know how to say thank you for what you have in your life and grasp the positive things. So I want to understand the technology. This I understand. This is clear. No, it's also... It's from the search for happiness. I want to disconnect from who the type is. Some people are happy sitting till the age of 40 in his parents' house. Some are happy buying an apartment on the 7,000th floor of a building. I'm not even getting into there's different types, different boxes. They're saying if a person operates a certain system of being thankful for what he has, to emphasize the positive things and reduce the minimum things, he'll feel more happy. Doesn't matter who he is, what he is. What does it mean to grasp the positive things in my life and see the good things in my life? First of all, you're doing. Yes, it's a protective system of the body. What does it mean that your problems are over? What does it mean that a person can be sad? Everything comes in its own time. You see a child cries, and then forgets it. The protective system and force in the body doesn't allow a person to suffer beyond a certain level. That's built in inside me. And that's why you calm down. There's a lot of research, and they think about it in all kinds of ways. Either you get used to it, or your body lets out all kinds of materials, or the external influences come from the environment. So when they say, if you learn to be thankful, and this is there's a positive system, how to deal with suffering and gradually to get away from it and allow things to be forgotten. So I have a question. We spoke about, we had a talk between us about Buddhism, reducing suffering. Here's an active thing we can do that's called being thankful. We said that research shows that emotions go quickly. If you have a new partner, a new car, you have excitement and it changes throughout time. And the researchers say that being thankful can cause us to increase the value of the thing throughout time. I appreciate what I have, so the disappearance of the pleasure from it will be reduced slower. I can get pleasure out of what I have. So the question is if practicing of being thankful can make a never-ending pleasure. It's possible, but they're also dependent on all kinds of external things, putting on music or the sound of birds, all kinds of things. I'm attracted to a happier society. But we put it like this. We want to see a happy person, and we don't really care what's happening to him. Either it's happiness from quietness or happiness from truth. The main thing is that he'll be happy. So what people do today, we're giving out drugs to a lot of people. The main thing is that people will feel happy. This can improve my being thankful, can improve my attitude to life, but that already depends on education. So here we need to relate to things differently. It's education. It has to bring a person to development. What? That he'll recognize what he has in life? No, that first of all, that he'll recognize, like we said today, like we talk about all different eras, we have to know the most happy place. And not that I'm blocking it now and saying, look at the empty. What's missing? Don't look at it. Look at it like there's no upper half. I don't want to sell those lies. But yes, I want to open my eyes to the absolute truth. What does that mean? That a person will always feel happy without periods like that or periods like that, that if he's dependent on society, the society will be dependent on him. He's all for everyone and everyone's all for him. What do you mean? He'll always feel happy and he'll be dependent on society and society will be dependent on him and the feeling of happiness and acquiring happiness. In a minute, I'll explain. He'll feel that his happiness is eternal and constant, apart from being constant, even though he thinks about the end of life. Otherwise, at the end of the day, this is what makes our life bitter. We unconsciously calculate our attitude to death, even though we're little kids. As a little child, you didn't think about death a lot. I thought about it a lot. It doesn't matter how you live. Either you live like a king or it's natural, it awakens in us from nature. So we have to, but altogether we have to teach a person what true happiness is, the absolute happiness that can't be replaced. So it's not a matter of knowing how to relate to what I have now. Let's say I'm drugged, either by society or something inside, but I don't want to be like that. It might be good for ignorant kids, but it will pass soon and very quickly. The fact is that we're already starting to feel, according to statistics, that most people in the world are depressed. Mm-hmm. And this phenomenon is increasing. There's such a thing that we know how to appreciate things when we don't have them. As long as I have something, I take it for granted. But if it goes away, suddenly I feel it's missing. And then I appreciate what I had before. So is it good to appreciate what we have? And we need to open up to new things. The things are next to me all the time, my friends, my family, health. There's things that we take for granted because we're not missing them. So I can't enjoy them if I'm not missing them because the pleasure comes from lacking. I can't enjoy having a 20,000 shekels salary a month because I have it. But if I'm missing part of it, then I'll feel later, and then I'll rise up to the correct height, and then I'll enjoy it. I always have to feel suffering against filling. And this is the problem with the current generation. They remain kids. They enjoy. They have to enjoy. But they can only enjoy at the height of children. Because everything else, they can enjoy from attaining, from being in some kind of achievement and search and that they, how can I enjoy like some Olympic champion that reached it through such difficult work throughout the years? Now he's enjoying it. What pleasure this is. I can't even imagine to myself. But I can't have such a thing. I can enjoy like a little child. like an idiot, that I remain at the same level of pleasure, because everything that I attain without any need, without any pain. So I'm not really enjoying it, but I'm pretending that I'm enjoying it. It's as if I'm happy, but I'm actually not happy, but out of lack of choice. My protective power protects me and says, it's not worth it for you. Continue in life. But now it's going to be over. Even though it just started 20 years ago, it's going to stop. Because the extent of suffering coming to humanity in our development, our ego is always developing. That's the problem. If we could remain like 20 years ago, then we'd be happy. We're like little kids somehow. We would give birth to one kid and continue. But the problem is that we're still in a huge descent and feeling happy. And here we don't have any other solution except to bring people to discuss, first of all, what true happiness is. There were generations that we really suffered, elderly and youngsters. We had generations where the elderly somehow got along, but kids were really educated by force. We had generations where elderly, instead of having 8 or 10 kids, they had 2 kids. In accordance with that, they started to treat them as riffraff. And what's next? Kids also started to be big. Instead of their parents, the child becomes the head of the family, and more and more. And then kids become infantile, and everything we spoke of. We went through all these things. Tell me, what other relations can there be between parents and children in education? What relations can there be between parents and the environment and kids and the environment that they'll feel happiness? We're not capable. Where does it come from? From happiness only being on the condition that he's riding on the lacking, on the need, on what I don't have, what I'm missing. And if from the beginning I'm not suffering, then I'm not enjoying myself. I have to, according to the feeling of happiness that I want to reach, I have to invest myself. Otherwise, I won't feel it. I do something, I don't feel it 2 days later. I get married 2 years, 3 years. It's also not so. It's normal. Why? Because we don't appreciate, we don't invest, we don't suffer enough to appreciate what we're achieving. Maybe that's why research shows that people, in an artificial way, wrote down how much they appreciate things in life, and it created some change. It's all on paper, not according to truth. It's artificialness. But we really have to get ourselves into a situation of lacking and pleasure. They go hand in hand, and they don't cancel each other. What? What are you saying? What are you saying? The feeling of happiness can only be on condition that I have a lacking and filling, and the filling does not cancel the lacking. I really wanted to drink. I was suffering. I was in a place all day where there wasn't a drop of water. And now I arrive, open myself up, and swallow, swallow, swallow. 1 liter, 2 liters of water. But I feel that it's all disappearing. There's nothing like the first sip. The second, more the third, less, until I can't drink anymore. I don't feel any pleasure. I'm not thirsty. And the feeling of happiness disappears. Did I reach the water or not? Yes. What do you mean yes? I'll hold you for a whole water without drinking. Let's see how you enjoy it. I'm saying it's natural. When you're 30, when you're thirsty, you drink. You're hungry, you eat. You're tired, you sleep, and it's over. In other words, there can't be constant happiness unless you're tired. You're tired, and then you enjoy sleeping. If you're hungry, then you enjoy eating. You have to always attain some type of lacking, that something's missing, yes. And then in accordance with that, you'll get pleasure from the filling, yes. So your whole life is one big race. After what? After lacking and pleasure. Lacking and pleasure. You're always running, either minus or plus, all the time. Is that life? That's my life. Hang on. You understand that without that, soon you'll feel death, like this young generation. That it doesn't want to go out of its room. It just keeps buying a bigger bed. But he also has his difficulties and his disappointments. Maybe it's convenient, but he's not as happy as he'd want to be. But he doesn't feel like a hero to go out to some suffering. Okay, maybe they don't see why, what the benefit is. But I thought that if there's an attitude of being thankful, then we can look, like you say, like say there's a very negative trend, there's degradation, then maybe people should look for what's good in that situation, how from this situation they can cause a change. They won't find anything. Because what you're recommending now, if before he enjoyed the little things, now there's some development that he's tired of. There's things that he's suffering from, antidepressants, don't fill him, etc. I feel that everything's childish. I'm really not developing. So it turns out that I need to find an ideal situation where pleasure and lacking for pleasure, or the opposite, lacking for pleasure, they will be as one. What does that mean, they'll be as one? That they won't put each other out. Give me an example. You gave me an example. If you're tired, you go to sleep. Every time I achieve something, it's because I had a desire for it. So give me an example of something that doesn't. But I love my little child. I love him so many years. I waited for a little child. Look at his face, yes. And now I have a child. I'm really thankful. How much I want to fill him, and with what? With everything. Everything that's possible and all the time, yes. So to the extent that I enjoy. So what's the example? So a child was born, it's a sign that I can give him and give him and give him and always enjoy, enjoy, enjoy. Yes? Now imagine to yourself that I have 7 billion like that. And each one I treat like my child. Not 7 billion. Let's say I have a few million. I have a few million. I have 4 kids. It's enough up till here. I'm full. I have no need for more. Fills me. That same generation, I think about my friends from university, and I'm asking myself if they would be willing to hear such a solution. Not to hear it right away, but I'm explaining to you. You're requesting a solution, but in a logical way. If I love someone, then giving to him becomes my pleasure completely. Giving to him, no one disallows it. No one's limiting me. Go influence everyone good things because everyone in the street, to everyone in the street. What do you mean everyone in the street? I have 4 kids. I'm busy. I don't want millions of kids and billions of kids. One more kid I don't have room for. So what's the solution? I don't understand. That you love people and you treat them well according to a feeling of love. You don't feel yourself happy, it doesn't fill you, that there's someone that you love. Of course it fills me. In addition to that, there's people, let's say those same people, that they also love you and are also reflecting to you that same attitude. It looks like the greatest pressure in life. So the question is how to reach it. But you're already grasping that what is possible, it's possible to reach a situation where you always have a lacking and you always have pleasure, no one's disturbing you, and you can always realize it and increase your feeling of happiness. I didn't get it. No one's stopping you from loving them more. No one's stopping you from loving them more. And then you feel between you happy. Along with that, each and every time, one supplies to the other more lackings for love. You feel how I love you, and it's as if you awaken to love me too and have a good attitude in the ideal way. Look how there's room here for unlimited development. Where's here? Define it exactly in the attitude between us, the relation between us. There was very interesting research that they allowed people, they said it's the thing that caused people the most happiness in life, to write a letter of thankfulness to someone in their life and read it to that person. And that gave person a credible feeling of happiness, this connection of thanking someone. Even to give a compliment, little things that really improve the relations and the feeling of happiness. Meaning there's little small things we can do between us that immediately increase our happiness. Why, on the one hand, is it easy? On the one other hand, we don't know how to implement it because we're not taught to do it. It's the opposite of how we're arranged in society. Altogether, I'm not talking about communism or socialism or the kibbutzes or settlements. I'm talking about the way people relate to life, to each other, to enjoy life, to be truly happy in an unlimited manner that's always increasing and developing. And in that, we can reach a situation that it's worth it for us to live compared to what's happening today. There's more and more suicide. People don't want to get married. We want to remain like kids ourselves. We want to reduce our level of sadness. How can I start implementing it now with the people around me, with my friends? These are techniques that we'll talk about. But it's already depends on education. If I give people around me more compliments, if I appreciate them more, what they do for me, I don't think so. People did those things in the past. There were all kinds of methods, but they didn't last. If we didn't do it through constant education, then these things can easily be transformed into hatred, from love to hatred, because it's the same attitude, just in a negative or positive manner. But we shouldn't. It is forbidden for us to increase the connection between us if we don't know how to manage it, if we don't know how to take proper advantage of it. Because we see behind love, there's such situations of hatred and separation, and the opposite. Therefore, this young generation doesn't want anything. They want to continue living without any big jumps, not to here and not to there. Depends also what's happening on TV. Either they're laughing or they're laughing a bit, and that's it. I remember that in university, there's a group that we have with groups, and we work on the dynamics between us, and the lecturer was very disappointed that nobody wanted to get into conflict. Everyone was really being careful not to get into. Why was he disappointed? Because it prevents us from experiencing all the happiness, meaning there's some kind of protection. He didn't teach you. No, that's why people were afraid. He didn't prepare us for it. So there's something that we have to learn how to do. I always felt that there was unused potential there in that group and the connections between us. Of course, happiness depends on the relations between people. We're not the only ones that get this program from childhood and then act according to it. But each time, again and again, we receive an upgrade, a new way of looking at our values. And each time, we check how we are against the environment, and that's how we advance. Can I ask you something personal? Yes? When you look right now at your life, are you thankful for things that you have? Do you have thankfulness for something, for everything? You're thankful for everything, for the good and for the bad. And I went through all kinds of suffering and accidents and problems and humiliations so what is there to be thankful for? Because it helped me finally to appreciate the situation that I'm in now. It's as a great gift. And I live with the spirit of life. I don't think thousands of youngsters together have what I have. I enjoy every moment of life. I want more and more and more. Every day I wake up, I have what to give to people. Every day I open myself to the whole world. How can I not be thankful for that? So you're thankful for it. So let's say I want to reach a situation like you're describing. From all the words that you said, and none of them do I find myself. Everything that you say that you do and everything, I don't do. I don't have anything to be thankful for. So what should I do from this place? To get close to a situation the way you feel. It's possible that you're describing to yourself happiness not in that, not as I do. Your definition of happiness is different than mine. Mine is to show humanity the method of happiness. Let's put it like that. The method of happiness. So I'm asking you, as the owner of the method of happiness, I also want to be happy. Do I have to pretend like you that I'm happy for the good or the bad? I'm not thankful for the good or bad, nothing. There's people that teach what happiness is and how to attain it, and some people just implement it. those tips. I give tips, I give guidance how to reach the complete happiness, the eternal happiness. So on the way to there, do we need to be thankful for something? Because today I'm not thankful for anything. Does it take away from me? Does it disturb me from reaching happiness also? So what do I need to do? To recognize the path that you're on, the development that you're in, what you're developing toward, and in this manner you'll also reach and even quicker. You have to, the recognition of happiness has to be each and every moment, whether I'm in it or not. Am I heading to it or not? And what am I and what am I not? You're checking your values, you're checking your environment, you're checking from today to tomorrow, from moment to moment, if you're advancing toward happiness. A person has to be happy. Has to. That is some type of goal that he needs to reach from the thought of creation. Otherwise, he's cursing his whole life and the upper force, whoever believes or doesn't believe, and is disregarding all of creation. So a last sentence that you want to tell me according to happiness and thankfulness. We saw, according to all the forms that humanity's gone through, that there's no ability to reach happiness unless a person feels, along with it, a desire, a lacking for happiness. In other words, the lacking has to come with a filling, like thirsty and thirsty for water and being saturated. They have to be connected. We have to learn how to get closer and connect the lacking, the minus, with the filling plus, that they'll be together and not neutralize one another, but rather maintain and actually increase one another. And this is the method, a method that I'd really like to bring to everyone. Thank you. And then I'll be happy. I hope you'll succeed. Thank you, Rav Lightman. Thank you, Tal. Thank you for being with us. We're connecting plus and minus together between us. All the best.